الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل للذين كفروا ستغلبون وتحشرون إلى جهنم وبئس المهاد صدق الله العظيم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله After the battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Medina Munawwara and he spent 7 days in Medina Munawwara when in the beginning of Shawwal, the second year after Hijrah, he received information that two tribes, the Banu Sulaym and the Ghatafan tribe, were gathering at a certain spot. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left with 200 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, appointing a Sahabi by the name of Siba ibn Urfuta al-Ghifari radiallahu an to take care of the judicial issues of Medina Munawwara and appointing the famous visually impaired Sahabi, blind Sahabi, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu an to perform the Salah in Medina Munawwara, giving a white flag to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled to a place called Qarqaratul Qudr. Therefore, one of the names of this battle is the battle of Qarqaratul Qudr, or it is also known as the battle of Banu Sulaym, because one of the tribes was the Banu Sulaym tribe. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached the water source of this people and he did not find anyone there. He sent the Sahaba radiallahu anhum out to search for the enemy, but they could not find the enemy. However, they came across a few shepherds. And on inquiry from them, they said that we don't have any information about the people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed here for 3 days. And he took 500 camels as booty, including some of these shepherds. One was a slave by the name of Yasar, was taken as a captive, and he fell into the share of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the share of booty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after some time, saw him performing salah. And this meant that he had accepted Islam. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam freed this slave, Yasar radiallahu an. This entire journey had taken 15 days. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Medina Munawwara. So he returned mid-Shawwal. In the interim, what had happened was the Banu Qaynuqa, which was one of the Jewish tribes of Medina Munawwara. As we are aware, there were 3 Jewish tribes that resided in Medina Munawwara when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had migrated: the Banu Qaynuqa, the Banu Nadir, and the Banu Qurayza. So they were living in Medina Munawwara. And 5 months after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had signed an agreement. One was, there was an agreement signed among the Muslims. And together with that, so a code of conduct, how they will live in Medina Munawwara together. But then together with that, there was this agreement signed with these Jewish tribes in Medina Munawwara. And part of the agreement, there were many clauses of this agreement, is a very historic document which has been recorded by Ibn Ishaq rahimahullah. Part of the agreement and the clauses that related to the Jews was lil yahudi dinuhum wa lil muslimina dinuhum, that the Yahud will be allowed to practice on their religion in Medina Munawwara and they will not interfere in the Muslims practicing on their deen. Then they were not allowed, no one was allowed to join hands with any external enemy to fight the other. And similarly, if there was an invasion on Medina Munawwara, then they would join hands together and defend Medina Munawwara. So these were part of the agreements, part of the clauses of the agreement that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made with the Jews, with these 3 tribes of the Jews. The first tribe to break the agreement was the Banu Qaynuqa tribe. They were the strongest the wealthiest and the most brave from among these three tribes of the Jews. By trade, they were blacksmiths. So they were very hardy people, very strong people. And the great Sahabi, Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu an, belonged to this tribe. So after the battle of Badr, this Banu Qaynuqa expressed their enmity for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And they were not happy with the victory of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba in Badr. So they had broken the agreement with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Badr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to them, he gathered them in the marketplace, and he addressed them saying, Ya ma'shara Yahud, aslimu, O gathering of Yahud, O Jews, accept Islam. Fawallahi innakum lata'alamuna anni Rasulullah. By the qasam of Allah, you are fully aware that I am the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes on to say to them, احذروا من الله مثل ما نزل بقريش من النقمة. That be careful and take heed, take lesson from the punishment of Allah that has come to the Quraysh in Badr. That such a punishment should not come to you. You should take heed. When they heard this message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, innaka tara anna mithla qawmik. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think that we are like your people? Like do you think we are like the Quraysh? La yaghurrannaka annaka laqita qawman la ilma lahum bil harb. Do not be deceived by the fact that you have encountered a people that don't know how to fight. So don't be deceived by your victory in Badr, because the Quraysh actually don't know how to fight. That's why you were victorious over them. Inna wallahi law harabtana لَتَعْلَمَنَّ أَنَّا نَحْنُ النَّاسِ. And in one narration, وَلَوْ قَاتَلْنَاكَ لَعَرَفْتَ أَنَّ الرِّجَالِ. They say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you have to fight with us, then you'll know who the real men are. Then you'll know what people are. People of fighting and people of bravery, you will know how they fight. On this occasion, the ayat of the Quran Majeed was revealed, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَتُغْلَبُونَ وَتُحْشَرُونَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. That say to the disbelievers, سَتُغْلَبُونَ, that you will be overpowered and you will be gathered to Jahannam, and what an evil abode it is. So this was, from their side, it was a breach of the agreement. They now sort of waged war against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they threatened Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then in the interim, there was another incident that had taken place, which became the catalyst, or thereafter became the direct cause for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marching towards them. So there was a Muslim woman. Some say that she was one of the wives, she was a wife of one of the Ansari Sahaba. She had some goods, and she took these goods of hers to the marketplace of the Banu Qurayza to sell these goods. She was sitting near a blacksmith. This blacksmith persuaded her to open her face. From where you understand, we understand a very important point, that the face was covered. This was in the early part of Islam, in the early years in Medina Munawwara, the second year after Hijrah, even before the law of Parda was revealed. The law of Parda came down in the fifth year after Hijrah, 3 years before that. So they persuaded her to open her face, but she refused. She refused to open her face. It shows the importance of a woman covering her face. That no matter what the threat may be, no matter what the persuasion may be, but she refused to open her face. So, to conspire against her, this blacksmith, without her knowing, from behind, he tied her clothing in a certain way, or he hooked it up on a certain place, that when she wakes up, her body will become exposed. So she was unaware that this was happening behind her. Her clothes were tied in this way. And when she stood up, part of her body became exposed. And the Jews that were around there, they all began to laugh. So when this happened, this woman, obviously the haya and the modesty of a Muslim woman, could not allow her to tolerate such a thing happening to her. So she called out for the Muslims to help. There was a Muslim nearby. He went towards this blacksmith and he killed him. The izzat and honor of a Muslim woman is such that he killed this blacksmith because of what he did to this Muslim woman. And obviously, because of this, the Jews had attacked this Muslim and they made him shaheed as well. So the Muslim's family now called for the other Muslims and the situation became a very, very tense situation. And this thereafter led to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now marching towards the Banu Qaynuqa. So on Saturday the 15th of Shawwal, second year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to the outskirts of Madinah Munawwara, where the Banu Qaynuqa would be residing, where they would live. And he appointed a Sahabi by the name of Abu Lubaba ibn Abdul Mundir radiallahu an in charge of Madinah Munawwara. A white flag was given to Hamza radiallahu an. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came here, they had fortified themselves in their fort. So he laid siege to their fort for 15 days. Now, before, they were very proud about their strength. And they had threatened Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam laid siege to them for 15 days, and now it became difficult for them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed fear in their hearts, they were forced now to surrender to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed a sahabi by the name of Mundhir ibn Qudama radiallahu an to tie their hands at their backs. So their hands were tied because now they were being taken as captives. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the famous leader of the munafiqeen, of the hypocrites, who always came on the side of the Jews and assisted them, he was allies with the Banu Qaynuqa. So because of his relationship, he passes by the Sahabi who was tying their hands, and he tries to untie them. This Sahabi, Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu, became very upset with him. And he said that, are you trying to untie the hands of those people that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed that their hands should be tied? Wallahi la yaf'aluhu ahadun illa darabtu unuqah. If any person tries to break this command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and untie their hands, I will strike his neck. So Abdullah bin Ubay now goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to plead on their behalf. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ignored him initially, but he persisted to such an extent that he even took his hand and placed it inside the garment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pleading to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became very, very annoyed and upset with this behavior of his, and he continued to insist, and he says that there are 700 of them, they are my allies, they assisted me in difficult times, how can I allow them to be killed? Finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his hikmah, in his wisdom, for the broader interests of the Muslims, various reasons and wisdoms why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave in to this demand of Abdullah bin Ubay, and he agreed that they would not be killed, rather they would be banished from Madinah Munawwara. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu in charge of facilitating their departure and their banishment from Madinah Munawwara. Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu was also their ally. Just as Abdullah bin Ubay was an ally of theirs, he was also an ally of them. But Abdullah bin Ubay was a munafiq, he was a hypocrite. And Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu was a sincere, genuine believer. So as soon as they had broken their treaty with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came forward to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, O Nabi of Allah, atawalla Allah wa rasulahu wal mu'mineen. My allegiance is with Allah, with the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with the believers. Wa abra'u min hilfi ha'ula'i al-kuffari wa wilayatihim. And I totally absolve myself from my allegiance and my alliance with these disbelievers. So he cut off his relationship with them when they broke their treaty with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A very, very important point that the historians write, that the sign of iman is that the person's allegiance will be with Allah, with his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the believers and with deen. And a person will not have allegiance and ties with the disbelievers and the enemies of Allah. So we have to break off from those people that have waged war against Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and against deen. Because of this incident of Abdullah bin Ubay still persisting on his allegiance and persuading Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in favor of his allies, and Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu an breaking his allegiance with these kuffar, there was many ayat of the Quran Majeed that were revealed in the 6 juz of the Quran. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tattakhidhu al-yahuda wan-nasara awliya. Don't take the Jews and Christians as your allies, referring to Abdullah bin Ubay. And detail ayat until the end. Innama waliyukumullahu wa rasuluhu walladhina amanu fa inna hizb walladhina amanu. So your allies Allah and his rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the people of iman. Wa may yatawallallaha wa rasuluhu fa inna hizballahi humul ghalibun. That those that have allegiance with Allah and his rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this party of Allah will be victorious. So these detail ayat were revealed. This happened earlier on. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu an to facilitate the banishment from Madinah Munawwara. So they were given 3 days respite. After the 3 day period was up, they came forward to ask for more time. Now he was previously the ally, he was the friend, he had close links with them. Now they were asking for a little more time in order for them to leave Madinah Munawwara. Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu's reply was, La wala sa'atan wahida. I won't even give you one moment extra. This is the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 3 days, now you have to leave. So they left Madinah Munawwara, they were banished, and they moved on to a place in Sham, in Syria, known as Adri'at. And